Wonderful to have you with us on this Friday News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Coming up a little later this half hour, wetlands restoration along the Mississippi. We'll hear about a new project. And finally, during the half hour, a well-known waltz made from the sound of Iowa's wind turbines. But first, we turn to the Mideast. For weeks, we've been hearing about fighting between Israel and Hamas, the Palestinian faction that rules the small and highly populated Gaza Strip. So far, more than 1,000 Palestinians have died in Gaza. Israel has lost over 50 soldiers. Starting early last month in July, the University of Iowa Study Abroad program indefinitely suspended all programs to Israel. Archaeology in Israel, which became a study abroad program, international program in 2013, was supposed to take place last month into this month at a dig site approximately 30 miles west of Jerusalem. Robert Cargill, a University of Iowa assistant professor of classics and religious studies, was to lead that program. 10 students were enrolled. Bob Cargill joins me in the studio now. Welcome back, Bob.
Hey, Ben.
So tell us, what was the plan before the class, this particular session, got called off?
Sure. The plan was to lead a six-week excavation at Tel Azekah, as you said, about 30 minutes west of Jerusalem, about halfway between the coast and Jerusalem. It was going to be 6 weeks of excavation. Every weekend, the students would go and tour religious sites, archaeological sites, national parks. And then that whole trip began with a five-day trip into Jordan, where we would go see Petra and Wadi Rum. So that's the program that we've had.
Mm-hmm. What happened then? When in early July this violence flares up, how did you come to the decision that this was just not the wise thing to do?
Sure. The decision, actually, the process began much, much earlier. As you know, you're always monitoring things in Israel. Study Abroad International Programs does an excellent job of keeping attuned to hostilities, potential flare-ups around the world. They actually brought in outside independent evaluators who would look at different factors. And they really did postpone the decision as long as they possibly could. They wanted this program to go forward. They want Iowa students to have these experiences. But when it became clear that the potential harm to students outweighed the benefits, they suspended it. They didn't cancel it, but they suspended it. And then as it continued to escalate, they went ahead and canceled it for this season.
Mm-hmm. Is this common in international programs? I know you don't represent international programs,
sure,
but perhaps you're aware of the degree to which this can happen.
Sure. It's common this year. It's been common in previous years. I know that this year the University of Iowa is not the only university to cancel its students' participation. University in England canceled. Some of the students who had already arrived in Israel were then recalled. So university in Sydney, Australia was actually pulled out and evacuated. And in years past, I've been digging in Israel since 99, where we've just had the programs canceled because of hostilities in the area.
Mm-hmm. You are in contact with many colleagues there, both Palestinians and Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been hearing? And you're pretty much in daily contact with them.
Yeah, I'm in contact with them on Skype, on Facebook, messaging. There's all kinds of ways to communicate. Look, the excavation is continuing, mostly with the Tel Aviv University staff and a few volunteers. Rockets have been fired at Kiryat Gat, and Iron Dome has knocked some of them down. Some of them have landed.
That's the missile defense system.
The Iron Dome missile defense system. Kiryat Gat is 2 kilometers from Kibbutz Galon, where we would have been staying, and only a few more kilometers away from Tel Azekah. Nothing, no rockets have hit Tel Azekah, the dig site. No rockets have hit Kibbutz Galon. But you do have these things coming. You know, it's right on the border. It's about 38, 40 kilometers away from the northeast corner of Gaza. And so it's right there in that range of frequent fire versus infrequent fire. They haven't been harmed. They're continuing their work with a, let's be honest, a skeletal crew. And, you know, they want the same thing that we want, the Palestinians want, that they want this to end. They want the hostilities mm-hmm. to end.
And I know you're a frequent visitor to the Mideast, to this area as well. But with that knowledge, with that experience, and also with the contact that you have with Palestinians and Israelis, what is the feeling like this time? Because this is not the first conflict between the Israelis and Hamas.
No. And again, this conflict is much older – forget than just this round, and it's older than our country tenfold, right? This is a very, very old conflict. That said, the understanding is that this one's a little different because Hamas is universally being blamed for instigating this. Now, we can talk about policies leading up to that. We can talk about past. That always comes into it, and that's we can have that debate, and there are certainly faults on both sides. But when Egypt and when the UN, when the European powers all unanimously condemn Hamas for firing rockets at civilians and instigating this and then violating ceasefires, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I know there's information coming out all the time on both sides. But this one's a little different because Hamas is just – everybody's basically blaming Hamas.
Well, someone would say, would they have an alternative considering the conditions that they are put into living in Gaza by the Israelis?
Correct. And you know that's the other side of this. Hamas would say, yeah, we're firing rockets at civilians to terrorize them. It's the only thing we can do. They're never going to win a pitched battle against Israel. They don't have tanks and planes. They can't fight a conventional fight. So what they all they can do is try to terrorize Israeli citizens, civilians. They admit this. They're firing at civilians with the hopes that they can at least get the attention of the people of Israel to drive their government back to the negotiating table. The problem is that when you try to protest using firearms, you become a terrorist. And you know whether it's one of these flotillas that comes in, the IAH flotilla, they've declared they're going to send another one. If you sit there. You know, we live in a time where you've got cameras. If you sit there and you document what's happened to you, when they come to arrest you, you don't fight back. You make them bind you. You make them drag you off the boat or the plane or wherever it is. When you do this passive resistance and then you document everything, that's highly effective. You have to be patient. You have to be disciplined, but it's very effective. When the Israelis come at you and you pull a knife on them or you start to shoot them or even worse, you shoot rockets at them, then Israel's justified in defending itself. And that sets the Palestinian movement back another 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking at.
We tell us a little bit about your experience there because you have been involved yourself in some of the violence that has happened in past years, even though you're in Iowa in a studio right now.
Right. My first excavation was up in the Golan Heights at Banias at Caesarea Philippi back in 1999 and 2000. And I sat and watched. I remember them saying, we might have to go home because there was rumors that Syria was going to reach a peace deal with Israel. We were technically just over the line in the Golan Heights. And they said this land may go back to Syria. And Ehud Barak was going to pull the troops, Israeli troops, out of southern Lebanon. And I watched them as they pulled out of southern Lebanon. I watched the planes. I watched the explosions. That was really close. You can hear the ground shake. And then in 2006, I was digging at Tel Hatzor when I was at UCLA. And that's when the Hezbollah war broke out. And we were evacuated. I was renting a car up at Kiryat Shemona, right on the Lebanese border. And we drove back to Hatzor. And then we were evacuated to Tiberias. And I'm standing in the street in Tiberias with the trunk of my car open and one of those rockets goes off not too far behind me. Kind of the blast blew me into the trunk of my own car. I couldn't hear for half an hour. I ran. Fortunately, I was spared any injury, but I couldn't hear. And I ran into the shelter. I've experienced this. It's not fun. It's not fun for Palestinians. It's not fun for Lebanese. It's not fun for the Israelis.
Okay. So with all the facets, the experience, that experience,
right.
firsthand experience,
right.
your experience and your knowledge as a professor of classics and religious studies and an archaeologist working
right.
there at a dig site very close to Jerusalem, what is your perspective on the future of this area?
The perspective is the same as most Israelis and most Palestinians want. Most people – I'm not talking about the 5% on each end, but the 90% in the middle want what everybody else wants. They want to go to work. They want to watch their kids go to school. They want to see them get married. They want to have grandkids. They all want the same thing. When things get out of whack is when that 5% starts really rattling their sabers and, heaven forbid, starts shooting at civilians on the other side. That's when everyone sticks out their chest and they want to defend themselves and they want to – and that's when things get out of hand. I think this will blow over. if for no other reason than Hamas will eventually just get obliterated like they were last time and cast lead. And they will eventually say, you know, what else can we do? The fear is that Israel will go too far in their retaliation and do something, you know, catastrophic. The death tolls are already over 1,200, 1,300, I think, now on the Palestinian side. It's not a bean counting contest. We shouldn't be counting Palestinian deaths versus Israeli deaths because of the nature of the warfare, right? It's not that. But you can't change the fact that disproportionately Palestinians are dying, and that weighs in to this factor.
Okay, thanks for stopping by. Bob Cargill, University of Iowa Assistant Professor, Classics and Religious Studies, was to lead a class, was to be in Israel at this time at an archaeological dig. Thank you for sharing with us much of your firsthand experience and your experience in all these areas in many different ways. Bob Cargill, thank you again.
Good to be here.
It's a